Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, obviously a lot going on here in America, around the world. And I was just listening to the live press conference with the president and his team on the coronavirus thing. So I want to just share the information that I'm continuing to pay attention to and kind of monitoring this all the time. And really, I would suggest that you don't do that. It can be alarming and discomforting and a little concerning, but it's important. We have to understand what's going on, and you probably recognize this if you've been out or with school or if you have school-age kids or with work or now on a national level asking CDC coming out and saying limiting to gatherings of no more than 10. And so some pretty serious things going on there. And so we need to be, as followers of Christ and as good neighbors and as good citizens, we need to be sober-minded. We need to be paying attention. But please do not sit around. It's the same thing with politics. Do not sit around and indulge yourself on this stuff over and over and over again and keep going through your Twitter feed and keep going through your Facebook page and just keep dining on it, dining on it, and dining on it. Because unfortunately, and I'm going to speak very bluntly to all of you, if you're out there posting stories about conspiracy theories and Trump and China and this, that, and the other thing, please stop. That is not helping. And even though it might make you feel good, you could be causing other people to stumble and other people to experience fear that they don't need to experience. And so you just need to knock that off. Okay, I can't implore you any more frankly than that with the crazy conspiracy things, and it's the left versus the right and the right versus the left, and this is all about getting Trump out of office. You just got to knock it off. You want to do that in the fall or on the other side of all this stuff, go ahead. But in the meantime, you're not helping. Okay, I've seen plenty of that, and it's kind of torqued me off. And so I'm just saying that because I know some of the people that are doing it. And if you happen to listen to the Facebook Live, watch Facebook Live, or if you're listening on the radio, you listen to the podcast later, and you're one of those people, just stop. Okay, just stop it. But some serious things going on here, and I've seen that in the grocery stores. That's another thing, and this is the difficult aspect of what's going on because we have a social contagion happening here. And I'm not talking about the virus. I'm talking about our reaction to it, our behaviors, where, you know, I'm in the grocery store this morning, very little, like a few things of chicken left, no beef, no toilet paper, no, you know all that stuff. So you have people that are hoarding, and here's the problem. That you can make the decision to not hoard. I can make the decision to not hoard. But there are other people who are hoarding. And so now you grab it when you can get it. And then we're all in the same boat. So that's it's very difficult. Today's press conference, which is still going with the president. I think it's the best I've ever seen Trump in the years of his presidency. Plus, obviously, 2016 and the primary and everything. Very calm, resolute, serious, not much hyperbole at all, which I appreciated, but there's some things going on there that they're talking about. I mean, today on this press conference, and again, it's live right now, they are talking about seeing this impact go through July and even August. So that's more than a couple months. That's more than 60 days. And so that's, you know, sobering. And again, I don't know about you. This is surreal to me. It feels surreal. It is surreal. And it's serious. And people go, well, it's just the flu, blah, blah, blah. Hopefully all that stuff, all those kind of false comparisons are dying out. Let me just give you some numbers here so you understand what we're looking at. And specifically, and this was one of the ladies that was a part of the press conference. I don't know who she's with. She's a doctor. She's really sharp. Calling on millennials. Millennials, it's time for you to help protect the greatest generation. Because millennials are out and about. They're communicating a lot. Millennials beneath the age of 45 could be contagious but not exhibiting symptoms and not really get that sick. But you could be a carrier. And so in order to serve and love and care about the older population, millennials need to, you know, chill out, stay home, work from home. And I thought that was a good message. I appreciated that. But just so you understand, I mean, there's been some conversation about a national quarantine. Is that being considered? And Trump flat out said, well, not at this point, But, you know, we're looking at strong suggestions. We may look at certain areas. This is a direct quote. We may look at certain areas, hot spots, but not now. We're not there yet. And so talking about quarantines in specific areas, hot spots where you have a lot of breakouts of coronavirus. And so to understand, just to put it into perspective, I think for those of us, I'm 54, and we need to think in terms of kind of our kids and the millennials and then us in our 50s and 60s and then the older generation. Because did you know, for example, the U.S. population 80 and above is 12.65 million people, okay? Between 70 and 80, it's another 22.66 million people. So our population in America, 70 and above, is 35.31 million people, okay? That is a large target for something like the coronavirus, which in 80 and over has a mortality rate of 14%. So those are big numbers, okay? So right now, the whole point is to get ahead of it. And I appreciated what Fucci was just saying on this live press conference, that you think you're here, like visually, he's like, you think you're here, you think you're ahead of it, but you're actually still behind it. All this stuff is still unfolding. We're kind of running behind all of this information. So we're living in a delayed reality. So whatever you see as being the numbers today, those aren't accurate. And especially because the testing kits and all that information. So this is a time, and I've asked our lieutenant governor here in North Carolina, Dan Forrest, is going to call in the third segment. That's right after around the 4:30 break Eastern time. So he's going to call in. I asked him to just call in and share what he knows and offer some reassurance as the lieutenant governor and hopefully the next governor of the great state of North Carolina. And as a Christian brother, I asked him if he'd be willing to pray with us on the air, and he will. So we're going to do that. The financial impact, obviously, is a big deal. So we're going to talk to David Fisher just on the other side, the last segment of the show today, just to understand what's going on with the Fed and with all the money they're trying to pump into the economy, because those things are very real, especially, again, if you're older. And most older folks in the market have their things fairly well protected. They're being very conservative. They're not in real exposed areas. But right now, I mean, this is crazy. The market is down literally right now at the close. 2,997 points, which is 12.93% down, okay? So we're pushing towards where the market was at when Trump took office. Okay, in November of 2016, the market was at 18,847. It went up as high as 29,500. Now it's back down to 20,188. So this is serious, okay? We're not playing around. So if you're spreading the conspiracy theories, you're acting like it's just the flu, it's no big deal, you need to knock that off. You can play that game and do all that stuff on the other side of it all. But in the meantime, we're talking about 35 million Americans above the ages of 70. And for them, it's very serious and deadly serious to knock that stuff off. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. So what are we waiting for? A message in the sky. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. And we're talking about the coronavirus today. Too high or too low? A little high? All right, I'm bringing it. So that was the feed from the network, right? Okay, we're good. All right, sorry, we're just dealing with some technical stuff, which is like a way of life here lately. Sorry about that. So we're talking about coronavirus. I'm just trying to update you with as much as I can. We're going to hear from our great lieutenant governor here in the great state of North Carolina in the next segment. So after the 4:30 break, we're going to talk to Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest and get him to chime in on what he's learning, what he knows, and some words of encouragement from him. He's also going to take a minute and pray with us. So we'll do that, and then we'll talk to David Fisher in the last segment of the show with a little Money Monday update, because obviously there's a lot happening there. The market down almost 3,000 points today, 12.93%. When it comes back, and it will, it's going to be amazing to watch that. But where's the bottom? When's that going to happen? I don't know. You go all the way back to when Trump won the election in November of 2016, the market was at 18,847, and we may get back down there. So the Trump bump will be gone. There's a serious days, and whether you agree with it or not, whether you think it's hyper or not, whether you think it's a social contagion, I'm not talking about the virus, whether you think it's government overreach or not, these are serious things, okay? So remember, and it's people we've got, listen, you've got 22.66 million people in America between the ages of 70 and 80. You have 6.1 million between 80 and 84, and 6.55 million over 85. So the 70-plus population in America is 35.31 million. You may not like these quarantines. You may not like all the social distancing. You may not like the optics. You may not like the politics. But do you care about 35.31 million people in America over the age of 70? Your answer should be yes. especially if you call yourself a Christian, but anybody, common decency. And so would you be willing to live a strange lifestyle for the next 30, 60, 90 days in order to minimize the impact on them? Because in the 80-plus crowd, the mortality rate's 14%. You get a million people in the 80-plus crowd because there's 12.65 million of them in America. Let's say you infect a million of them, 140,000 of them are going to die. So are you willing to change your lifestyle for a few months in order to save 140,000? You kind of have to think of it that way. Not kind of, you do. Okay. So somebody who shall remain nameless, who is going ballistic for the last 4 or 8 weeks, a radio personality, happens to be a person I know, Trump, One World Government, George Soros, blah, 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 blah. Now this is what this person is saying. Happy Monday, everybody. Let's put politics aside for a time and work together to heal our community. Praying for you all today. Some ideas. Number one, limit all media intake. Get the news, but don't obsess over it. It'll stress you out. Yeah, I agree. If you're home from work, get on a schedule with the kids and work on projects during the day. Good piece of advice. Number three, talk to people all day. Whether Skype or on phone or cell, the human connection is super, super important. I'm with you. Help, help, help. Find people in your community who may need it. Especially, let's all make sure we're checking in on people that are older. Okay, this can be deadly for them. At 54, I'm not that worried about it for myself. My mother's 88. My father-in-law's 80. And do you have neighbors that are older? And check in on them, especially for Christians. Okay, this is a great time for us to shine. Number five, and again, this is somebody that was kind of bashing the whole thing for the last couple of months. Stay inside if you're not feeling well. Be reasonable about your movement. Number six, don't dwell on politics or apocalyptic conspiracy thinking, because even if you're right, there's no point right now. Amen. This event is in motion, and we just need to deal with it. Trust in Jesus and pray for our leaders that they have courage and wisdom. Absolutely. Let's make sure we continue to be in prayer, because the numbers, again, like Fauci was saying in this live press conference from the White House press briefing room in the West Wing, hey, we're behind it. We're not ahead of it. Okay, so, and I reminded people on Friday, I've been using this analogy ever since. Think of this as like a big brewing hurricane that's 10 days off the coast, and you get about 42 different models. Most of them are like, yeah, this is serious. It's going to hit land. A couple of models are kind of goofy, but then everybody's going, how much do we prepare? How much do we prepare? And then because of the context we live in, everybody's politicizing it. Depends on what the politics of the person in charge is. The Democrat, the right hits them. If it's a Republican, the left hits them. Are we over-preparing? Are we under-preparing? You don't know what you don't know. And then, all of a sudden, when the hurricane comes, and you know this here in North Carolina, the hurricane, it doesn't come quite on shore as much as we thought and doesn't do quite the damage. It's not quite the negative impact that it saw. And, oh, we wasted all that time and all that money and all that paranoia. But what if it does? Because from a political and leadership standpoint, do you want all that on your head? It will be on your head, especially in our culture, in our context. Forgiveness, politically, is dead. So if you don't over-prepare, that's all going to land on your head. So you'd rather be over-prepared than under-prepared. And in this case, we're talking about, again, I'm just reminding you, 35.3 million American citizens, fellow citizens, over the age of 70. And let's make sure we're taking care of that. Yeah, that's Jerry on Facebook Live. 71 years old with bad heart disease, and I'm staying home enjoying my wife. Good for you. Amen. What a great idea. So they are talking. Trump said it during the live press conference. We're looking at this through July, even August. Okay, that's a lot further out than people were thinking. Somebody asked, are you considering a national quarantine? Not at this point, but they are looking at hotspots, different parts around the country where things are pretty nutty. And the politicization of this, he had a call with the governors earlier today already. They're telling him, he said, hey, go get your own. And so that's how it got reported. Go get your own, meaning masks and everything, and testing kits. That's how it got reported by some outlets. But that's not what happened. What Trump said is, if you can get it somewhere else and don't have to wait for the feds, then get it. If you can find another supplier to get testing kits or to get face masks, which are really for people that are in the healthcare industry, then get it. Of course, the left media reports Trump told them, you're on your own. Go get it on your own. That's not how it happened at all. Just like with the whole Google thing. Did you see that? I wanted to play that clip, but I can't. He did that yesterday at a press conference where they're like, oh, Google's doesn't have anything to do with this website that they're supposed to be setting up for testing. And then he holds up a sheet of paper. He's like, hey, this is from the CEO of Google. Here's the information for the people at Google. And the CEO of Google's like, I have no idea where these people are getting this, but that's patently false. And then Trump just kind of drops the piece of paper. It was a great visual. So while the media does that, while the politicians do that, let's make sure we don't. Okay, it's you and I. Let's make sure we don't. Now, this is, again, I'm trying to keep us sober-minded and serious, not paranoid. We haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So, for example, one of the, some admiral guy that was a part of the press conference today said they're putting 1.9 million test kits into use this week. So they're getting those out. These are the feds. Okay, 1.9 million this week, 2 million next week, and 5 million the week out after that. That's 9 million in 3 weeks. They're not putting that stuff out there because there's no threat. They're putting that stuff out there because it's serious. Okay? So let's be sober-minded and prayerful. Everywhere I've gone, at the grocery store this morning, you know, I'm using the disinfectant wipes and all that kind of stuff. And this is just serious, but let's make sure we're being prayerful. We'll pray with the lieutenant governor on the other side of the break. By the way, some people were asking, we were going to be doing this marriage, a mini marriage conference with Dr. Danny Akin, who will actually be my guest this Thursday on Theology Thursday. We're going to talk about dealing with fear and uncertainty as Christians. So that's what the Theology Thursday is going to be like this week with Dr. Danny Akin. But we were going to do a little mini marriage conference a week from Friday here in Raleigh. That was going to be Friday night and then Saturday morning. I'm looking at doing that for free online because we got... He had some of that on video that he did in front of a live audience. So that would be a great thing to do. All us married couples, we're stuck at home anyway. Let's enrich our marriages with some good teaching from the Word of God. So I'm working on that for a week from Friday. When we come back, the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of North Carolina, my friend Dan Forrest, and our brother in Christ. We'll be right back. Back at Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you, talking about just trying to sow some calm, but yet some care and some love and respect, and looking out for especially people that are older than a lot of us and people that have compromised health, people on chemo, people with heart conditions, all that. They're all seriously affected by the spread of the coronavirus. And like I mentioned, I want you to remember this, memorize it, 35 million Americans are 70 and over. 35 million, and 12.5 million are 80 and over, where the mortality rate's 14%. So are you willing to sacrifice your lifestyle for a little, for several months, in order to protect people that are older than us, literally to protect them? I'd like to think, and I assume for all of us, myself included, that the answer is yes. But we're paying attention, and we're talking, and we're praying, and we're not people of fear. But somebody that's dealing with this on a whole nother level besides the rest of us would be our good friend, Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest, here in the great state of North Carolina. Dan, how are you? Thanks for calling in.
I'm doing well, Steve. I hope you are.
I am. Thank you very much. These are some odd days, to say the least, and I appreciate you taking the time to call in. And that's why I keep reminding people, for a lot of folks, you and I aren't in that 70-plus age range, not yet. And certainly people under 40, for most of them, it's not going to be a big deal. But we literally have tens of millions of American citizens that are much older that we have to be careful about and have to care about and have to serve them. So what are you kind of running into in your governmental capacity and here in the great state of North Carolina? What are you learning that you can share with us?
Well, I would just say to your point, if you look at the deaths that have occurred across the country related to coronavirus, about half of those in one nursing home in the state of Washington. And so that tells you, you know, the capacity of this to wreak havoc on the older population rather quickly. And that obviously happened because, you know, they were the first ones to get it. And so that's what brought it to everybody's attention. And so I think what you're seeing in this response, especially from the president and what's going on in Washington, D.C., the president, vice president, and their task force, they're obviously taking this very seriously. And then watching the private sector come together as well and step up the way they are. This is kind of what is the best of America, even when these folks in the private sector are going to be taking massive economic hits for what they're doing as well. So it's good to see the president and the White House and this task force take this extremely seriously and handle this like they would if they were solving a business problem.
Yeah, and I've appreciated that well. The press conference that was going on earlier might still be going on. I stopped watching as soon as I went live. But
it ended, and
I was just going to say, I think this is probably the best live appearance I've seen of President Trump in his whole career as the president. He really handled it effectively. He was calm, self-controlled. There wasn't a lot of hyperbole there. And I think you see that what happened on Friday with the leaders of all these major corporations, that he's coming at this like a business guy. He's a problem solver. Get it done.
Yeah, this is his natural habitat. You know, his natural habitat's not politics. It's the business world and knowing how to solve problems. And so, anyway, in that regard, I think that folks are doing a good job. I think people in the state are doing the best they can here, too, the governor and his team with what they have to work with and what knowledge you have. And you just have to take some pretty extreme measures. You know, I think a lot of us can be armchair quarterbacks here and make a lot of calls without a whole lot of information. But the people that are the best minds in this industry related to these kind of infectious diseases are saying, no, we really have to take this seriously. I mean, they're obviously working on solutions and, vaccines and those kinds of things, and they're doing that in record time, too. But, you can't act like this isn't a big deal. You know that it is a big deal, or even the president wouldn't be dealing with it the way he is.
Yeah, exactly right. So here in North Carolina, I mean, do you see on the horizon, Dan, that this is going to get even more stringent in terms of restrictions? We see New York and now L.A. Literally saying, okay, all restaurants, all places, gathering places, movie theaters, everything needs to shut down. Do you think, based on what you know, that we're kind of moving in that direction?
Well, I think all things are obviously on the table. I'm not involved in those conversations specifically related to the state. That's the governor's territory, and I'm not invited in. But I think everybody should really expect worst-case scenarios when it comes to these things, because that is generally the natural path of them. I mean, we just saw two or three days ago, where people are saying, you know, limit your gatherings to 100, and now the CDC says 50, and now the president says 10 today in his press conference. So obviously, you know, people are saying we want this curve to flatten as fast as possible. We want the spread of this to stop as fast as possible. And the only real way to do that is to take extreme measures. And now at the same time, I think we all have to be aware that there are real consequences, human consequences of this as well. I've had several friends I've talked to this morning who have laid people off already. One friend said, I just laid off 60 people. Another one said, I just laid off 8 people. These are very real situations in real time that we're dealing with. And so they have a real human impact. And I think, from your perspective and coming from your radio show and who your audience is, that this is the time for the church to step up and shine, to know that there are human casualties in this, and then there is human fallout from this related to the job market, and people are going to be very desperate. So what does the church do? The church steps up in times of crisis and reaches out and meets the needs that the community faces. The church doesn't just go away and crawl in a hole. You have to be there and be prepared to help your neighbors.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point. It reminds me of actually became a famous letter from a Roman centurion sent back to Rome about those people of the way, that would be us Christians, that in the midst of that plague back then, that they were staying in the city and serving people and helping people, even at the risk of their own lives. And I don't know, people don't like to hear that, because now we're talking about you could be spreading the virus to other people. But I think that's a great reminder for all of us that this is the time when we have to show that we're not people of fear, but that we're also people of great care and concern. There's a lot of shut-ins now, and that we need to be the source of peace in our neighborhoods and our workplaces on social media, as opposed to being people that are kind of spreading that fear and that concern. And even partisan politics, there's a place for that, but it's certainly not now.
No, and it's a shame when you do see it, and it's a shame when you can go on to Facebook and places like that and just see people making hateful comments about, people in political positions and those kinds of things, when this is, like you said, this is no time for that. But obviously, that's what this country has come to in so many ways. But I think we're also seeing the good. We're seeing where people pull together and really do a lot of good stuff. And I just want to go back to your previous comment. You know, the recommendations are don't gather in groups, stay separated from people. The reality is there are churches that are delivering food to people. You do it in one or two people. You go out and you deliver food to people that are shut in or people that are elderly. You don't make contact with those folks. You're trying to, you know, be there and let them know you care for them and love them. You don't necessarily have to make contact to do that. You know, somebody that's lost their job, you don't necessarily have to gather a group of 10 people around them, but you can call them on the phone. You can go visit them. You can be a support for them. You can help them out with food. You can help them out with their bills. You can all the things that the Acts 2 church did when they came together to pull together in time of need. So, those are the kinds of things that we do.
Yeah, so important to remember that. Well, we've got about a minute and 20 seconds, about 2 minutes left. And if you would be so kind as to just lead all of us in a prayer right quick for all of these situations and everything that we're dealing with, that would be awesome.
Okay, happy to. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to humbly bow before you and recognize that you are the sovereign Lord of Lords. You are Lord over all things, including the Lord over the coronavirus. And know, Lord, that there is nothing that you don't know and nothing that you don't understand. And so, Father, we pray that your good purposes would come from even a tragic virus like this. Lord, we pray for protection over our nation. We pray for protection over our president and governors and leaders around this country. We specifically pray for protection over the elderly and those that have compromised immune systems, Lord. And we pray that the church would be the church in times of darkness more than ever before. So we just say all these things and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, pal. I appreciate you calling in, and thanks for sharing with us today. We'll talk to you again real soon. Stay safe.
Thanks, my friend. Take care. Bye now.
All right, bud. You too. Talk to you later. There you go. Hopefully the next governor of the great state of North Carolina. And this is changing all of that. There's a couple states that are postponing their primaries. We've got a ton of primaries between now and July. And those are, talking about gatherings of 10 or more. And Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest has been out there stumping on the trail, traveling all over the country. All that stuff getting shut down. Does that mean we would change? Can you imagine? I can't imagine this yet being to the point where we would actually delay an election. Because I don't think you can do that at the presidential level. First of all, there's some constitutional issues involved there, but what do you do with that? So we need to definitely be people of prayer and praying about this without ceasing. Throughout the day, times together, I think we'll spend a little time after the show today. If you want to join us on the Facebook Live page, we'll do some more prayer together after the show, and I want to do some more times of prayer on Facebook Live in the coming days, but let's make sure we're all doing our part. We don't have to wait for some gathering to do it. When we come back, David Fisher to talk about what's going on in the financial world. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. It was good hearing from the great Lieutenant Governor here in North Carolina, Dan Forrest, who is a great leader, a great friend, a brother in Christ, and I really appreciated him calling in today. And especially praying with us, that was awesome. I really appreciated that. So much is going on. I'll be talking about this pretty much every day. On Thursday, we'll do Theology Thursday. Dr. Danny Aiken's going to be calling in. He's the president of Southeastern. And we're going to do that show on dealing with fear and uncertainty, the theology of fear and uncertainty. Okay, so we're going to do that on Thursday. And then I'm going to just be following this stuff and talking about it. I'm probably going to open up the phones a lot on Tuesday and Wednesday just so all of you have a chance to call in and share how it's affecting you. Dan mentioned, Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest mentioned in that call just a few minutes ago, he was talking to one business owner this morning who's already laid off 60 people. This is serious. These are serious things going on. Again, I said at the beginning of the show, I'll remind you again, and then we'll talk to our buddy David Fisher. If you're posting conspiracy theories, if you're doing all the anti-Trump or the anti-Democrat stuff, China, all these conspiracy, all that kind of wild stuff, knock it off. Do that later. Do that on the other side of all this. Like I said earlier, please remember that we've got over 35 million people in this country that are 70 and over. And 80 and over is 12.6 million. And the mortality rate amongst them is 14%. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of people potentially that could die. And so now is not the time. And then here's the problem. If all these things, all these measures, we go from avoid gatherings of 100, then 50, then 25. Now today, the president and one of the people on his team said avoid gatherings of 10 or more. And we don't know what we don't know. So when we get aggressive like this nationwide and take these kind of measures, And on the end, on the other side of this, we won't be able to calculate how many people were saved. You can't calculate that. So people are going to take advantage of that. Let's not be one of them. Let's not turn this into yet another political football, okay? And another serious thing going on, obviously, is financially. The Dow Jones Industrial today, literally a 3,000-point drop, 2,997, 12.93%, the biggest point drop in history, not the biggest percentage drop in history. It's been worse than that before, but very serious things going on in the financial world. Our friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital helping us understand that. David, how are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Don't like what's going on, but doing great.
Good. Praise the Lord. Well, let's start with where we should always start and keep this especially in the forefront of our minds. Let's go to Scripture first. So we're in the Old Testament, Psalm 27:44. Let's start there.
One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and seek Him in His temple. You know, life throws us curveballs. Life is full of challenges, and those challenges cause us to grow as people and trust more in the Lord. And so to the degree of the uncertainty of the environment that surrounds us, it puts us in a greater degree of need and yielding and needing to be in His presence, because in His presence there's fullness of joy, there's rest. You know, a lot of people think that we disengage if we're in His presence. No, that's the place where we engage and we seek and we connect with what our spirit is saying to His spirit, what His spirit, saying to our spirit, and therefore we get information and to be engaged in making proper decisions. So it's not a disengagement, it's a reconnection for engagement. And so let's get in this presence so we can be engaged and He can give us wisdom and knowledge on what we need to do in this type of environment.
So that's a great word, and I would just add to that, then we'll move on. And oftentimes we think kind of, oh, yeah, we got to pray. But we need to remember that the power of prayer and going before the throne of God is the tip of the spear. It's not the handle. It's not the back end of the spear. It's the tip of the spear. That should be our number one defense and offensive weapon is prayer. So important to remember that that's an active thing. It's not a passive thing. So thanks for reminding me of that. So all of us, actually, David, of course, thank you for that. So yesterday, that was kind of wild. The Fed comes out on a Sunday. They dropped the interest rates almost to zero, the Fed rate down to 0.25%, then quantitative easing, trying to pump a bunch of money into the market. But yet today, the market down, historical loss, just about 3,000 points. So that obviously somehow that didn't connect. What happened there?
Well, the circuit breakers kicked in within a minute, halted trading 15 minutes. Now there was a 41% of recession before the coronavirus in January. Now there's a 67% of recession. J.P. Morgan and PIMCO all are saying we're headed for a recession. The bull market ended officially Thursday of last week. We're not in a recession. It's not been announced. But historically, when the Fed does what they did with quantitative easing, you have to ask yourself the question, why did the Fed lower their rates near zero? Why did they do quantitative easing of $750 billion? Why did they inject a $1.5 trillion in the last 2 days and tomorrow in the repo markets? If we're not in a recession and this behavior is only done, and this is an aggressive behavior for a recession, we're not in it, why are they doing it? That is the trillion-dollar question. So I'm going to say something I said on your program in December and in January multiple times. I said we're 1 to 2 headlines away from a major downturn. There will be a catalyst that will force the markets to go down. The Fed will come to the rescue. They'll be forced to do this. They will lower interest rates near zero, and they will start a quantitative easing program. And that's exactly where we're at. So could it be we are really, even though they insist we're not in a financial challenging situation, we are, because this will turn into that. And today, for the first time on CNBC, a commentator that works for CNBC, Brian Scully, came out and said there is no liquidity in the corporate bond market in oil. So that, I said last week, Morgan Stanley said the system is fracturing, it's breaking. So for the Fed to react the way they did, we are in the cuspis of a massive financial crisis. I'm not alarmist, I'm realist. And this is where we're at. You will hear, I'll make another prediction, you will hear this come out in the news more in the next week to month, And we will, unfortunately, see an official announcement down the road that this will lead us to a recession. We will be in one. So that's where we're going. The markets are going lower. And I said the Dow, the next support level is at 17.7. And we're, if we have a market drop what we have today, we will be at that
number. Yeah, you're there in one day. Yeah, and I got an email earlier today talking about all this repo stuff that they're doing. But with some of the rules that have been put into place ever since 2008, there's, from what I read, there's actually there's some legal problems with banks even being able to take the money. Have you read anything about that?
Yeah, well, you hear a lot of things. Their banks were supposed to lend money in 08. They didn't. They held on to it. Now they're saying, just give us the money and we'll lend the money. I doubt they're going to do that because corporate seven major banks just announced they're going to stop buying back their shares. What that doesn't mean, I want to make sure everybody hears that, that doesn't mean you can't have liquidity in that those bank stocks. What it means is they're going to stop supporting a buyback policy to artificially inflate their stock prices to produce profits, which is what caused this big bubble all along. So the banks, if they're stopping that, they're not as healthy as you think we are. And I'm not alarmist, but you don't have this behavior by the Fed, because this is a virus-induced thing, unless we have a massive undergirding financial problem, and that's what I've said all along, and here's where you're going to see this evolve to, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at this email I got earlier today. It was talking about like their first round of $500 billion, the three-month repo was done, and only $17 billion actually got snatched up. So there's some, obviously, there's some things that are broken out there in this situation. And so I don't think that... You know, and Trump came out today during the press conference and is talking about July, August. So with this recession, I guess the question is, how long? And I don't know at this point, David, if there's any way to kind of project how deep and how long this trough will last. Is there?
Well, no, nobody can know for sure. But here's what we can say. The V-shaped recovery, profits, earnings, suggesting that the bear market is over, or there really isn't one.
The bull market.
It's just insane. Yeah, the bull market is over, and we're going to just have a short-term bear market of a month or so. That's just insane. We're not going to have a V. GDP is plummeting globally. So, and corporate profit earnings are going to be wiped away for at least the next second. This quarter, first quarter, second quarter, and probably third quarter. So we will be in official recession at that point. A U-shaped recovery means when the market pulls back around 20%, but it historically takes 24 months to recover that, and we've gone well beyond the 20%, so we're not going to have a U-shape. This is an L-shape, and David Blanchard, head of Morningstar, a research company, not a stock company, but researches stock and the environments, he said this: there is no telling how long the markets will go down. They could go down for the next 10 years. So this is not a quick recovery. And I saved a gentleman of probably around $300,000 here recently by telling him, listen to your spirit. Don't follow my advice. This is not about gold. This is about getting your money safe. Yeah. And because his stockbroker was telling him to stay in the market a month ago. I said, just do what your spirit tells you to do. He sidetracked all his money to cash, and he probably saved himself $300,000 to $350,000. So follow your spirit today. If you think this is going lower, don't mess around in this market. If you think we're done, stay in then. If you think it's going to bounce, buy more. I don't think the latter two are even close to the environment, because nothing depicts that.
Yeah, and fortunately, praise the Lord, we've got a whole lot more to look forward to than just what this life can offer. So what's gold doing in reaction to all this? Since everything's kind of off kilter, what's gold doing?
It's doing exactly what it did in 08. It's a short-term pullback. You know, stocks were down 12-plus percent, 13%. Gold's down 1.5%, less than that. But they're pulling from the gold market to shore up the positions. Gold's getting ready to make a big rally because we're doing quantity easing at almost zero interest rates, and that's where gold went up 250% in 4 years.
Yeah, and I know for people that want to explore this and understand more about gold and gold investing, there's a lot to it. What's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
The old-fashioned way, 844-879-8882, or they can go to our website, landmarkgold.com.
David, thank you so much for calling in, and this is a whirlwind, but praise the Lord, we have our faith, and we have the God of the Bible to be our rock, and we're not living on sand, we're living on that kind of base, so it's good to hear from you. Thank you so much for calling in.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Okay, pal. We'll talk again real soon. Take care of yourself. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.